You are listening to a digitally remastered class of Rav Yochanan Zweig, Rosh HaYeshiva of the Talmudic University of Florida. This class is from the Robert L. and Rhoda Lipton Foundation Audio Library. For more information, please call 305-534-7050, or you can visit our website at www.talmudicu.edu.
You know that the meat of Yaakov is Emes. Titein Emes to Yaakov, and as we read the Parsha, it sounds like anything but Emes. He's manipulative. Next week's Parsha, he actually tells Rochel, Ochi Vani Bramos, I'm a Rami like your father, who's a world-class Rami. It's very difficult to understand how come he needed so much Ramos. What's the Hashkocha made it that he should have to use so much Ramos, but what's really the purpose of Ramos, which, when it sounds like it's the most anti-Emes thing in the world, is Ramos. It's the ultimate spirit to Emes, and Yaakov Ish Emes is total Ramos. Also, it's interesting, Rashi says the reason he was blind, Esav, the reason that Yitzchak was blind, but Yechenu Meiros, Rashi says so that Yaakov could come and get the brachas. Wouldn't it make more sense to make sure he could see straight? Just like, if he could see what was right, he wouldn't have had, Esav wouldn't have gotten the brachas. But created the only reason that he thought Esav would get the brachas is because he was blind. So it would make a lot more sense to make sure Esav, Yitzchak could see straight. He'd be like Rivki, wouldn't have given a Havmin to give the brachas to. Also, the end of the Parsha, a very interesting thing. Yitzchak tells Yaakov to go to Padan Aram, to go to Lavan, to get wives. So Esav hears that, and he understands from that he doesn't want him to marry from the Benos Canaan. As the Pasuk says, Esav saw that there was Ros Benos Canaan in the eyes of his father. Vayar Esav ki Ros Benos Canaan. So Esav goes to Yishmael. There's two messages there. Benos Canaan are no good, but also that L'chadchila, the preferable, is to go to Lavan, not to go to Yishmael. Esav could have sent Yaakov to Yishmael. So why wasn't Esav smart enough to go to Lavan too? We know Lavan has two daughters. The whole world knew Lavan has two daughters. And Rivka has two sons. So the smartest thing for him to do, he only takes half the lesson from his father. He takes the lesson that Benos Canaan are good. But also in that lesson is, between Yishmael and Lavan, who's better? And between Yishmael, Lavan's better. So why didn't Esav do that too? He's trying to carry favor with his father, and maybe his father even has a good idea. So what's the Torah telling us here? He should have gone to Lavan also. Then of course the obvious question is, why didn't Rivka, why should she take it and the brachas encourage Yaakov to do it the Derech Ramos when it's a huge sakana? Ulay Yimusheni Ovi, and he'll give me a klolon, not a bracha. So her answer is Olay Kolascha B'nei. But that means she understood that was a real possibility. I mean, you can certainly, despite all the halachas of Lashon Hara, it would surely be possible for a wife to tell her husband about Esav and not risk. I mean, do you understand the risk of Olay Kolascha B'nei that she has to answer? I mean, she understands it's a real problem. I mean, well, it doesn't make any sense. Then she loses everything. She loses, her son loses everything. Everything is perverted and clogged. So the logical thing, go tell your husband. Why do you risk everything? And it is a risk. She says it's a risk. She didn't tell him everything's going to be right. She said, Olay Kolascha B'nei. You're right, there is a real danger. Yaakov himself says it. He knew it was a danger. She doesn't disagree with that. Why jeopardize everything when within all the permissible halachas of Lashon Hara, she would be able to tell her husband who Esav is. It's not that he has no inclination who Esav is. Don't take me na gezel, make sure you do shechita. It's not that he wouldn't go into shell shock. So the logical thing would be, do it in a way that you're not risking the destruction of Yaakov and the destruction of yourself. It makes, lachar makes no sense. Very difficult, the whole storyline. This is the Ishemis. Then the beginning of the parsha is very difficult to understand also. Yitzchok is ben arboim shona bekachtos rifka bas besuro arami mipadin aram achos lovan arami lo lish. So Rashi has the very nice kasha. Rashi has the question, we already know all this information. We know she's the daughter of Besuro, we know she's the sister of Lovan, we know where she's from, we know everything already. Why does the Torah repeat it? The Torah repeats it to tell us lahagid shvocha, to give her a praise. Exact lotion of Rashi here. Ella lahagid shvocha. The whole passage, shehoyso bas rosha, vachos rosha, mekom anchi reshet, v'lo lomdu mimasein. Let me ask you, are we talking to retards over here? Somebody reads the Torah, reads last week's parasha, and knows that Lovan and Besu will try to kill Eliezer. Besu will die. And those parshas Vayetze and sees all the horrendous manipulations of Lovan, knows the Anshei Mekoma were starved to the defrauding Yaakov by the wedding. We know who they are. What's going on over here? And Chazal, I say, Besu will call it's an Eisworfs over here. And we went through a whole test of Rivka Imenu, an incredible test of Rivka Imenu. She was longer than Masay. You can figure that out. It's not that it wasn't just the first woman that comes out, it was a whole test. So we understand. If she's the one that was chosen, it was like longer than Masay. Of course it was lucky she didn't learn from them. What's going on over here? What do we need this pasuk? Let's leave this pasuk out. We know she's righteous. We know she's incredible tzedakis. We know she's an incredible balas chesed. You understand that in next week's parsha, the Torah tells us that Lovan abused his daughters. That Lovan, that they themselves were kishvuyas cherub. Normally a person marries off his daughter so he gives her a dowry. Not only didn't he give her a dowry, but the money that he got money from Yaakov and he kept that for himself and didn't give it to her. That's what they say themselves. If they say themselves, so you understand that love and everything, even his children's all about him, nothing is about for anybody else. Even his own children he abuses for his own self-interest. And Rivka passes a test that she's an incredible balas chesed. So we couldn't figure out, what is this pasuk is telling us? Nothing. We know that from the whole story in the Torah. We know who Rivka is. We know where she came from. We see what tests she passed. We understand that she was not influenced, not by Besuro, not by Lovan. What is the Torah telling us over here? What's Rashi saying? I'll start, I think, clarifying things. I'm going to start with the following thing. What is the meat of Emes? What does it mean, emes? What does it mean, chesomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes? What does emes mean? What does the word emes mean? Very interesting definition of emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the word emes, literally what emes doesn't mean true. Emes means reality. Like the Rambam says on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishneh Torah, Ein amitoso kamitas achas mehem, that his reality, Kaliyoch, you can't really use the word reality on him, is not like us. We're not talking about just saying truth. Emes means what is the reality? And Kaliyoch is not like our reality. It doesn't mean truth is something which is real. But it's not the word emes means truth. Emes means real, and this is just truth is one of the things that are real. Kosh Baruch created the world. You shouldn't think of insight. The word for world is olam. The word olam means nelam. Hashem is hidden in the world. He's nelam. The whole world is Hashem is not visible because the world is not about Him. He consensum, he separated himself from the world, and he created a reality not about himself, about people. That's the Ratzon to be made to. The reality of the Olam is that he created to the extent that's hard for us to be masked, but he's actually Nelam in the Olam, that he's hidden in the world, because the reality of the world is people. That's what he created, because otherwise it would be about him. It's not about him, it's about him. He wanted to be mate of the Zulos. Let me explain what the word of manipulator. There, by the way, Chazal here in the Medrash says, Lovan Arami, Besul Harami, Mipadn Aram. The Medrash says here the word Arami means Ramai. You change the words. It's just the Arameans, but they're called Aram, that the Medrash says. That means from Loshin Ramai. It's a Medrash Rabbah right here, Ramai. What's the mid of a Ramai? How does a person become a... And we just had a Shir Klali in Ramos, Madoff. I mean, it's a huge Shir Klali, the whole world, for a year or two. The only thing they talk about is Madoff. What was Kayak that Madoff was able to take 60 billion, whatever the number was, from people? What's this Kayak? A lot of people would like to take 60 billion people. Billion dollars from people. $1 billion. What's the Kayach of Ramos? What do you need to be a Ramos? What's the Kayach of Ramos? Now, everybody knows if you come into the door to sell something to somebody, this is a huge problem that all salesmen have. And they want to sell encyclopedias. They want to sell a set of encyclopedias. Most of them want to sell encyclopedias, and therefore they want the customer to want what they want. They want the customer to want to buy an encyclopedia from me because I need a parnassa. Now, nobody ever got successful selling anybody on something that because he thinks that he's going to be able to convince the person to that he should want what I want. The kayach of a good salesman is he has to figure out what the other person wants. That I want to sell encyclopedias, I need a parnassa. But if I want my customer to buy it, I'm not going to get him to want what I want. I have to figure out what makes him tick. And if I take a look, oh, he has young children, doesn't look too successful, probably has some demyonis, the way his children are going to live better than him, they're going to go to university, and they're going to be educated, they're going to be professionals. Go into there, takes a look at this family, says, you buy this set of encyclopedias, your son's going to be able to get to Harvard, Yale, whatever it is, and he's going to have a nice parnassa, he's going to go to medical school, he'll be a successful professional. That's possible if he was able to really understand the family, and that's what they're looking for. He's going to sell encyclopedias. It's not that they're going to want. He wants to make money. They're not going to want what he wants. They're going to want what they want. And he's going to figure out what they want, and then he's going to deal with them and tell them, this will do what you want. That's the kayach of a salesman. Now, manipulator is the same thing. It's a mishundik. It's the fact that Madoff wants to take somebody's money, that he wants to get money from people, he's not going to get people to want that he should have money. But he's going to figure out, the people have greed, they want money, and he's going to figure out what number does he have to offer them that they're going to want to part with their money. Now, he would like, anybody who wants money, who's a ganif or a manipulator, would really want that they should part with the money and promise a 5% return or a 6% return. But he understands they're not doing that. And he's able to get into their heads and deal with what he perceives what their number is, 10%, 12%, 13%. And this is a 13% return. So yeah, it puts an additional pressure on him. He has to give away 13% of the money that he's taken from them or from other people. But meanwhile, he got the money he wants. The whole vort of the manipulator is he has to deal in the reality of the people he's trying to get something from. And he has to be very able to separate his rutzen from the when he deals with, he has a rutzen, he's yet trying to get their money. That he's not separating himself from. But what he needs to do is in dealing with them, he has to deal with their perception, with their reality, not with his reality. He wants their money, but he's never going to get them to want to give him money because he wants money. He has to, all his interactions with them have to be what he understands they're looking for, how much greed they have, how much he has to cater to the greed, and even though he would like them only to want 5%, that's the big problem in all. Anybody who has an agenda wants the other person should want what he wants. Then you can't be a manipulator. A manipulator has to be able to divorce himself from what he wants the other person should want to what they want, and to be able to see the world from their point of view, which requires an enormous ability to totally detach yourself from your perspective. Because usually when we want something, that's what we see. We see what we want. You know, most of us don't want to be confused by facts. Almost nobody wants to ever be confused by facts. They know what they want, and that's the way they look at things, based on what they want. It's very hard for anybody to be at all objective. If I want something, that's the way I see things are. There's 1,000 mishal to this every single day. You want something, that's the way. You want to marry a certain person, you see these milas. Everybody else on them. Your mother tells you, Mashiach? You see what you want to see. If you want something, then you see it the way you want to see it. Your mother tells you, crazy? That's not who she is. Or that's not what he is. That's what his mother tells him. Her mother tells her. It's our biggest problem is that we don't have an objective look, and our subjective desires colors the way we look at things. The manipulator has an enormous koach to see things without them being colored, in a transparent way. That's why lovin' is called lovin'. It's almost the same color of Yom Kippur. It's pure, with no agenda, purely objective, transparent. He's not coloring anything. He's looking at things as they are. Now that's a big koach, because he does want their money. But he's able, in dealing with them, to deal with them according to their perception of what reality. What do they want? They want X return. They're going to need some references. He invented those references. Also, he goes into their heads and is able to, even though he still has his rutzen for money, but he's able to separate his desire for their money with how he interacts with them. He interacts with them according to their perception of reality. That's a huge, huge koyach. Which, by the way, I think this is the pshat in the drush of Saran. The Ran asks the question, why did Avraham Avinu go over there to look for a shidduch? What's wrong with Eliezer, Eved Avram, I guess what's wrong with Yishmael? What's over there? The gangsters over there. So the Ran says that they had midas types. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I think. I mean, some the Reutzchim, Nayafim. What he's saying is they have this unbelievable koyach to separate their perception of reality from themselves. They can deal in somebody else's reality rather than theirs. And someone that's chomer, someone that's very physical, someone's about taiva, and driven by taiva, I'm a dom lechamor, baser susim son, baser chamor in bisra, it can't separate. And therefore he will always have a colored view. And we're going to figure out that the ultimate tachlis in Knesset Yisrael is to be able to deal with a reality outside of myself. I'll be masbir that later. But I'm just saying now the hagdara of what the mida of Ramos is. Ramos is able to get into somebody else's world, deal with their perception of reality. All my interaction with them is based on the way they see things, not the way I want them to see things. This is a huge class, because to the extent that we have an agenda, most of us cannot get out of the way we see it. Oh, you scream, you have a fight with somebody, and really, that's the way you want to see it, that's the way he wants to see it, and you're fighting. It's very hard to get out of yourself and look at someone else's perception of what reality is. The manipulator is a gone in that. And a world-class manipulator is Lovan and Basuil. From the whole culture, there is one of manipulation, which means they deal in other people's reality. It's a huge koyach. That's what the Torah, this is going to tell us how to read up a Rashi. We all learn wrong pshat in Rashi. We all learn pshat in Rashi, which makes no sense, and it's wrong, is that he marries Rivka Bas Basuil, Harami, Achois Lovan Harami, Mipad Naram. We say, oh, despite that she was from this place, he married. No, because Loi Lomden Masen. That we know from last week's parsha. Of course we know that. The pasuk here is telling me this is her yichus, not despite. This is why he married her, because she's the daughter of Basuil, she's the sister of Lovan, and that's why he married her. Why? Because when you come from a culture of Ramos, you have an enormous ability to get out of yourself and to deal with other people's reality. Now it's true, when you have that ability to deal with somebody else's reality and you get into what they want and there, you can manipulate and control them. It's a tremendous nesayin. They weren't even nesayin. In fact, the only reason they did it was to manipulate and take advantage of people. She had their koyach to get into other people's reality, but not in order to manipulate them and control them, but to be able to help them. So the Torah is saying, but had she not been from this place, she would not have had the koyach of Ramos. There's no greater koyach than the koyach to get out of oneself and to look at the world from someone else's. You can't do chesed. Let's take a look at the test of last week's parsha. The Ish Mishtoilo, he's bewildered. Why is he bewildered? She asks for Ashkino Ma'at Mayim Mikadech. And she says, Shesei Adoni, doesn't give Ma'at, Shesei Adoni, which means she didn't deal with what he asked for. She put herself into his shoes. What does he really want? What does he feel comfortable in asking? What does he really want? She was able to totally get out of herself and understand what he really wants or what somebody in that situation should really want, and that's what she did. She had the total mida of Ramos. I mean, the total mida that could be used for Ramos. The ability to get out of yourself, see what a person comes and asks you for ma'at mayim. That's what you give him, ma'at mayim. No, she said. Because she didn't respond to what he asked, she figured out what he really wants, what he should want. You know, over the years I've been collecting, asking money for the yeshiva. And once in all the years, I asked somebody for a certain amount of money. You know, usually a person gives you half the money. Sometimes he's gone, you know, it's a lot of money. He gives you exactly what he has. Only in all the years, it's come out that started probably asking for money 30 some years ago. Only one person all the time. He asked him for specific sums, a lot of money. 3 days later, he gives to me with the 20% hosafa. 20% more. He was not figuring out what I asked him for, which I thought was very... I remember going through, figuring how much he asked. If I ask him for a certain amount, it's a nice gift, a huge gift, but it won't satisfy my problem. So I figure I'll ask him for 2/3, and then I realize the same thing. I'm still going to be a third. So I asked him for the full amount, which I figured I'm not going to get what I want. So at least he figured out, and he gave me 20% more. In all the years, the pshat is he wasn't giving me what I asked. He was figuring out what I probably needed. That's getting out of a person's head and going into not listening to a person, but listening to what he really wants. And that's what Rivka Imenu did also. The whole test was she didn't respond to what he said, she responded to what she figured out that he really wants. That's a Ramai. I mean, a Ramai would use that to figure out how to get control of somebody, how to take every last penny from them. And Rifki made him figure out how to do chesed with that. Because when you know what a person really wants, then you'll give the chesed. I mean, there's many, many other... All chesed really requires it. The emphasis is all chesed requires it. And the Torah teaches us this. We have a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. You're not allowed to marry your sister, ki chesed hu. So Rashi... What about ki chesed? It doesn't make sense. Rashi brings a medrash. Ki chesed hu, in telling her how to tie and marry a chesed hu. Then Rashi, a peep shot, Rashi said. Ki chesed hu is an Aramaic word. Ki chesed hu is Aramaic, and Aramaic is chesed, Aramis is chasud, which means shame. Cherpa in Parshas Vayishlach, ki cherpa, which is a shame, the uncle says chasud, the cherpa. So the Torah is saying like this, don't marry your sister, it's a cherpa. It's a shame. Does that make sense? The Torah uses foreign words, katbas, frikishtayim, pasba, the kusishtayim, afriki, the totofis, tatba, kasmishtayim, afriki, pasba, frikishtayim. Okay, Torah uses foreign words. That's for some other night we'll discuss why the Torah should use foreign words. Okay, we need to figure that out. But one thing makes no sense. You're writing the Torah in Lashon HaKodesh. To use a Lashon HaKodesh, use a word in a foreign language that in Lashon HaKodesh means something else. It doesn't make any sense. You're writing, the reader, when he reads Toitophis, what is Toitophis? He'll go investigate. When he's reading the word Kicheset, in the Torah it means chesed. The Torah is written in Hebrew. He doesn't think it's an Aramaic word. Why is the Torah doing this? Because the Torah is telling us the same thing. When you do somebody a chesed, you feel great when you do somebody a chesed. There's no better feeling than doing somebody. It's a spas. It's a wonderful feeling of doing a chesed. The person that's asking you for a chesed, how does he feel? Humiliated, mortified, shame. Every time you bench, out to the ani loyli day, matnas bosser v'dom loyli day hal bosser. Not a lot of people going to lend me money. It doesn't say I shouldn't have to ask people. I shouldn't take a loan from somebody. Someone that gives me a loan is a friend of mine. I ask him for 100 and he lends it. And I'm a spout of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I shouldn't come the day halvosa. The guy wants to... It's not because any time you take a kindness for a person, it's devastating. Soini matonis yichi, it's devastating to a person. The whole Bria is predicated on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put us right away into Gan Eden because it should be Namanik Sufa. A person has to earn, and therefore it's humiliating. Do somebody a chesed, you're feeling good. That person's feeling humiliation. Unless you learn how to do chesed when you're doing somebody a kindness and you're feeling good, he's devastated, he's ashamed, he feels terrible. I ask somebody for a donation this year. Yeah, just had a good deal. Here's a nice sum, mazel tov. That's about him. Just like when I knock on the door, I hope nobody's home. I didn't have a good experience. I got money, but I didn't have a good experience. Someone says, listen, I know the work the yeshiva does, it's so good. Or I remember when I was in Philadelphia, I used to go, and your parents invited me to their house a lot of time, and your father's makar of me, he learned with me. Then I feel good. As long as I feel like I'm a nitzrach, and he gave me a kindness, a person is dead. Soini matonis yechi, you walk out, half dead. When a person does chesed, there's nothing more important than to realize how the person who is asking for the chesed feels. If you don't go into his shoes and understand what he's feeling, when you do chesed, you could be hurting a person. Remember a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Vayera, I said a very interesting thing. The Psukim say this. Somebody makes a great, I'm hungry, somebody gives me a great invitation, come into my house. I'm going to make you a beautiful meal. You can sleep over. Wonderful. So, if you don't want to do it, what do you tell them? Please, Zaynish Matriach, it's hard. I don't, please, or it's dangerous for you. It's Sodom. Right? There's ways of, a guy made you an offer. He's putting himself to Sakon. He made you an offer. You answer like a mensch. Thank you very much, but, it's too hard for you. I don't need it. I'm going. No, they have a different answer. The Malachim, Vayomer lo brachol noam. I'd rather sleep in the street than in your house. I mean, the chutzpah, you make an offer, you're inviting in malachim into your house, and you're offering them in Sodom a meal, and you're putting yourself out and in danger. So, by Yom Loibrich, we'd rather sleep in the street. You know, the streets of Sodom were sakonis nefoshes. And a person says that means he's telling the person is telling him, you're being mavatal me. The way you're offering me a chesed is you're putting me down. You're making a nominic sufa. I'd rather be killed in the streets of Sodom than become demeaned and destroyed by your chesed. That's what the Torah is telling us. That's what I proved it from the psukim what his mistake was. But that's what the pasuk is telling us. You can't do chesed unless you understand the feelings of the person receiving the chesed. It's not the size check you give him. And sometimes the words you say and everything else, well, you think he's feeling good. If you don't really understand that he's so uncomfortable in asking, you're torturing him. The yisod of chesed is being able to see where the other person's coming from. The yisod of Ramos is to be able to see where the other person is coming from. The yisod of knowing how much chesed a person needs is the same thing. You have to see where he's coming from. Rivka comes from Lavan, Padnaran, the Suya. She's the perfect, has the midah that we need. That's the absolutely, there's no midah that Knesset Yisrael needs more than that. And therefore, the Torah is not telling us, despite her father, despite her brother, that's her yichus. Now, it could be that once you have this koyach, you can destroy people, like lomad mimaseim. That the Torah, of course, made it. But if we would have used the pasuk from last week's parsha, we would have thought, despite this, despite that, she was totally mufke from Ramos. She's not mufke from Ramos. She has total havana of where the other person is thinking and what's going through their head, but she doesn't use it for herself to manipulate people. She uses it to help people. That's what the Torah is being made. In other words, this is a very chashuv levar. This is come out all of us don't do properly. Avodas Hashem is also not what I want. Not my. I want to be close to Hashem. I want to be close to Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. That's not Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem means I want to see what Hashem wants, not what I want. The fact that I want to be close to Hashem, I want to have an aliyah, is zero the reason why a Jew should do something. Should do because I have to figure out what is the Ribbono Shel Olam. What is the interest of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Instead, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. He is. It's not about him. It's about us. And when we deal with him, we also can't be. It's not even that I want an aliyah. I want to know what he wants. As long as it's about me, that's not an oyved Hashem. An oyved Hashem is as much as you think you're holy. I want to grow. I want to stop. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from you? Almost nobody asked that question. That's a huge madrega to figure out what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me, not what I want. What does he want? What's his interest? Bato Ritzon Chumit, Neve Tzoyna means, let's figure out what he wants. I know what I want. I want to be close to him. No, that's not important. What does he want? What does he want me to do? Not what I want to do. And we've had Gidoy Le'Yoyim make this mistake. Kairach. He's Shaloy L'Shem Shemayim Kairach. He's not. What's her name? Tomer is L'Shem Shemayim. Tomer is the scab and the shame shemaim, even though she's Aishas Poitifar is also Tomer's the shame shemaim. Chazal call her the shame shemaim, even though the Torah says he was a handsome boy. Yosef Hatzadik, he's Misalsu Basar, but he's a handsome person. That's the shame shemaim. Kairach. Chazal say, he's worse than Aishas Potiphar. Chazal say, how could he be worse than Aishas Potiphar? The Teretz is, Aishas Potiphar wants him tied for all the wrong reasons, but there's a right reason. She saw in the astrological signs that she has to have a child from him. So it's a mixture. She has hers, Tivus, and she knows it's the right thing. Kairach, wants to be a Kohen Gadol. What could be? He wants to avoid it. It's about avoid it. It's a, and he's certainly roy for Kohen Gadol. No one's going to be chaluk on that. He's roy. He's the top of the first of the Levim. He's a tzaddik yisrael on Karach. He's an unbelievable Karach. The only thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked Aaron. He never said, I'm greater than Aaron. He never said that he's more roy than Aaron. What he must be saying is, of course, Aaron. Aaron is greater than me even. But I can also be Kohen Gadol. Kulam Kedosh. I can surely be Kohen Gadol. I want to be a Kohen Gadol. That's Shalom Hashem Shemayim. Unless he gives a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him more than Aaron, that's Shalom L'Shem. Even though he means it for Avodah. He's not the cover. He wants L'Shem Shemayim. He wants, that's not L'Shem Shemayim, because I want to be close to Hashem. He never had a reason that it was in Hashem's interest he should be there. That it's in his interest to be close to Hashem, that I understand. But it's not about his interest to be close to Hashem. Is it better for Hashem that he should be Kohen Gadol than Aaron? If it's not better for Hashem, then that's Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. It's a murderous thing Chazal is telling us. He never had a reason. You know, our mistake is we think L'Shem Shemayim means I mean L'Shem Mitzvah. You see, that's not the pshat. Karach surely wanted to do something good. He wanted to have the Madrega of Kain. He was the first Levim, he was the first one that he got shaved. He was the Rosh of all Levim. Moshe Rabbeinu recognized him as the greatest of all Levim. He was probably Roy to be a Kain, there's no question. But he had no reason that Hashem should want him. It's just that he wanted to be. That's Shalom Hashem Shemayim. The Yisod of the Bria is not to figure out what I want, but to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to get out of my... Even though I want to be close to Hashem. That's an avla. You, Kairat, wants to be close to Hashem without a doubt. He wants to be close. I don't think it's the cover. You know, he was pretty rich. He was getting enough cover for being one of the richest people that ever lived. One of the three richest people that ever lived. He probably wasn't too short of cover. He wanted Hitakavadi. He wanted to be... I mean, he's the chief of all the demons. The lady's the greatest of all the Shvatim. And Har Sinai, he's there, and they never did any of the Chatan of the Egg. Unbelievable. He's the Rosh of all the Zim. But when he wants this, it wasn't about... And he wanted to be, for sure, close to Hashem. And probably shefted some of the people that did the Chereg, like the other Zim. Echav lo hikir, bonav lo yoda. For sure he did that. He's unbelievable. But here he doesn't want it. Right. He's not trying to figure out what Hashem wants. He knows what he wants. That's Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. The tachlis of the Bria is to be able to get out of myself. Just like if I'm a manipulator, I have to figure out what you want to deal in your reality. We're saying for the be an emes of Baal Chesed also, to be an Oyved Hashem also. To be an Oyved Hashem, I have to figure out what the Ribbono Shaloim wants, not what I want. I'm talking not what I want in Ruchnius. What does he want from me? To you, we all need to work on this. But that's the void. That's what you need to meet here. Yaakov Avinu is an unbelievable thing. Probably it explains a lot of things. Yaakov Avinu is interested in giving Yitzchak what he wants. What Yitzchak wants is to give the bracha to the one that's Roy, without a doubt. Yaakov is not taking the bracha because he wants the bracha, he's taking the bracha because he knows if Yitzchak would know what the truth is, he would give him the bracha. For sure. Because as soon as he says, Vayakveni zeh pamoyim, Rashi brings the Medrash Tanchuma. As soon as he heard that Esav, when from Esav's mouth, he heard that Esav sold the Bechira, Gam Borach Yeh. Rashi brings that means, as soon as Yitzchak heard that Esav sold the Bechira, he said, the bracha belongs to Yaakov. So had Yitzchak known up front, of course he doesn't want to give the bracha to Esav. That's no doubt. He has no interest here, Yaakov, in manipulating his father for his sake. It's to give his father what his father really wants. That's the height of emes. But it's even more than that. Why didn't they tell him? Why didn't they tell him? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu open up his eyes to see who Esav was? because that would have been very painful. It would have been very painful for Yitzchak to see who Esav was. It would have been tremendous, tremendous tsar if he would have seen that. Just like Avraham Avinu doesn't have a say in the Taiva, if he dies and he sees the rishus, he HaKadosh Baruch has to take him away 5 years earlier because there's no one to save the Taiva. He would have been a tremendous tsar. So what Yitzchak and what Rivka and Yaakov are doing is manipulating him and dealing with his perception of reality, but not for their sake, to give him what he really wants. Had he really known what the truth was, this is what he would want. And therefore to do that is a tremendous, tremendous amount of emes. And more than that, he did it because he didn't want to hurt them. And more than that, more than anything else, to show that it was not about them at all. It had no, it was not 1% because it's good for Yaakov. What's the riot? And it's not 1% because this is what Rivka wants. How do we know that? It wasn't even 1% of their kavana. Because, Ulai Yemusheni Ovi V'Yisi Beino Kinesata Teya, and I'll have and I'll bring Ulai Klol and not a Bruch. Which means he had to risk everything in order. If he would have had one interest, because he wants the bracha, would he have taken a chance on losing everything? And Rivka says, all I lost for the Nimi, she could be clobbered, he can lose everything. So if it's about them, tell him the truth, and you're going to get, he'll get what he wants, and you'll get what you want. It's not about me at all. It's only about Yitzchak Avinu, that he should get what he wants, without having the pain of knowing who Esav really is. I don't have to be mochiach him who he is. And when I'm willing to put my, jeopardize my whole nitzchias based on that. That means it was all there. That's the midah of emes. The whole thing, you know, the Ramai has the ability to deal in somebody else's, to see somebody else's reality and live in that reality in order to take what he wants from him. So, but all the interaction is based on the other person's perception of reality. And over here, by those who have the midah properly, is that they use the other person's perception of reality for his sake, that he should get everything he wants. He should get the bracha to who he really wants, if he would know, to not have any pain, and to them to be so divorced from any sense of their own gain that they're willing to risk their total destruction. And it's not Shaykh more emes than this. I think now we understand, Esav understood the greatness. After this whole story, he understood that this was a world-class Ramos, world-class understanding of somebody else and knowing how to deal. Yitzchak knew this. I'm saying after that, he understands he gave the bracha to Yaakov. What does Yitzchak think of Yaakov? He knows it's unbelievable. He knows he pulled off Ramos. Miza, Anoichi Esa Becharecha. Everything. He knows that everything was unbelievable that he was able to pull it off. That he knows afterwards. No problem. You know where the best girls are? Right by Lovin. He knows that Lovin is not going to be able to hurt Yaakov. He sent them to Lovin. Esav was just duped by Yaakov. He's not about to start up with Lovin. He goes to Yishmael. In other words, our kasha was, how come if Yitzchak holds it's better to go to Lovin, Esav should have gone to Lovin also? The answer is, Yitzchak knows it's very dangerous to go to Lovin, but Yitzchak himself saw the Ramos of Yaakov, I mean, for the right reason. He was not afraid, and then when Yaakov comes there, he actually had smicha from his father. Anochi ochi b'Ramos. Rochel, you don't have to worry. My father gave me smicha. He's not going to be able to take care of me, love. Maybe next week I'll explain. When you read the story, it sounds like it was a Bob Geivin, a Shachtson, and that Lovin took advantage of him. We have a chance, maybe I'll talk about that next week. But for sure, he took everything. Yaakov won not. Therefore, he was able to send them. Esav was afraid to go to Lovin. You go over there, and Lovin will manipulate him. Lovin, he's not going to go take Lovin's daughters from there. Lovin's going to own Esav. And the Mela, he was afraid to go. This is the most unbelievable amount of objectivity and endless to do something for somebody, for their perception, and first of all, to be able to figure out exactly what the other person has to hear and to know, is the total ability to divorce himself from himself, totally to divorce himself from himself, and then to do it for that person's sake. That's what Rivka and Yaakov did. That mida that Rivka had, that she exhibited last week, that she was went into the head of Eliezer, this is what happened. Yaakov took this mida too. That's what Yaakov uses here. And it's just like she used it only for the sake of doing something good for Eliezer. Here, he does it only for the sake of doing something good for Yitzchak. Yitzchak will give the bracha to the one that had he really known he'd want. And Yitzchak will have no pain. And Yaakov is jeopardizing his whole mitzvahs in order to do this taiva for his father. It's unbelievable. And Yitzchak, by the way, I'm sure, figured that out also. Yitzchak had to figure out, what would Yaakov fool me? But how about if I would have caught on in the middle? I would have cursed him. I mean, no shy. He didn't make up. Just like Yaakov said, that's what Yitzchak would have done. He was right, and Yitzchak knew that about himself. So he understood the tremendous, mysterious nefesh that Yaakov went through not to hurt him. For his sake. He knows it's for his sake because he heard from Esav that he sold the bracha. And as soon as he knows that Esav sold the bracha, he said, Gam Baruchi, it goes to Yaakov. So he knows the whole thing was not about Yaakov, it wasn't about Yaakov, it was about him, to do what was good for Yitzchak. And that he knows that Yaakov was Meister Nefesh in order to do that, put a great risk on himself. He understood the Gevaldik and Mid of Yaakov. That's the Mid of Torah, by the way. The Midah of Torah is Rachmona, is to be able to get out of ourselves, and to be able to hear what the Torah is saying, to hear the reality of the Torah. So just like the Midah of Aram is to be able to get out of yourself, there again it's to manipulate, here it's to get out of ourselves, to be able to hear the truth of the Torah, and the Mela, Yaakov Avinu, mainly through Rivka, the whole Midah of Rachmanis comes, which is a Shaychas to Torah. Therefore, it's not a coincidence that Torah, Shabbal Peh comes. Gemara comes from Aram. That's where Gemara comes from. Talmud Bavli. The whole Talmud Bavli, the whole way of thinking, it's written B'Loshon Aramis. It means, because the whole Loshon is done. Learning the Chavrusa is to understand what the other person's asking. Somebody asked a question, it's not answering his question or being polite until he finished talking. It's to hear what he's saying, what his question is, to learn from that, to get into his head. Once you get into somebody else's head and you understand his perspective, then you can rub that against your perspective. The whole yesod of Talmud Bavli is Lashon Aramis, it's written that way. And that's Rachman is... The whole mitzvah of Torah is that midah. That's why Chazal tells, Tosis brings a ksuvus and medrash, that better before a person is mispalo, that he should learn Torah should come into his bones, he should mispalo that madonim, that taiva should not, that food should not, pleasure should not. What's the pshat? Pleasure, taiva is what the person locks him into himself, he can't get out of his perspective. About Taiva is Chomer, and he can't divorce himself from his perspective to get into the perspective of the other person. Therefore, that's what the Ron is saying. Therefore, you have to marry somebody from Lovan, from Avram Avinu's family. You need somebody from Aram. The unbelievable koyach of Aram is they weren't locked into being Balei Chomer. You could have bigger tzaddikim in Canaan. And for sure, Eliezer was a bigger tzaddik than anybody in Canaan. But they're Balei Chomer. Am Adom L'chamor. A Baal Chomer can't get out of himself. Mutter to be mispalad that I shouldn't be involved with Chomeris. The koyach to get out of yourself means that you're able to do... That doesn't mean you're not a Rosha. It doesn't mean you can be a tremendous Rosha. But you're not a Baal Chomer, so therefore you're able to become objective, to get into somebody else's shoes, see the world from him. Yeah, at the end of the day, you could be manipulating him and everything else. But at least you're able to get out of yourself. Avodas Hashem requires getting out of ourselves. What does the Ribbono Shel want from us? Not the what do we want. And what is the Torah teaching us? Not what I want to see in the Torah. And of course, if we do that, then there's a tremendous... It's dangerous, because when you're able to get out of yourself, you're able to manipulate people, and everybody in Iran fell into that trap. And Ribbono Shel gave us this kayach and brought it in, built Klal Yisrael from this kayach. It's not only he built Klal Yisrael through Rivka, Yaakov, Rachel, Leah. I mean, we have all manipulators all the way through. In fact, when, by the switch, he times the Chazal say next week's parsha, he says to Leah, how did you do this? How did you switch? How did you come in Eva Baker Leah? I mean, Chol Amanati. I learned from you, Yaakov. Because you did that to your father, you did a switch. The whole mida is the yisod of Kol HaTorah Kulo. It's the yisod of being a Jew. It's to get out of ourselves. You can't learn Torah, you can't be an Eved Hashem. It's very, very dangerous. I don't want to be mimai at the danger, because when you get out of yourself and you're able to get into somebody else's reality, you can control and manipulate them. It's easy to do that. That's the nisoyon of living. If you don't have that koyach, you can never really be an Eved Hashem. You can't be a Talmud Chacham. You have to be able to get out of yourself. And therefore, better than marry the daughter of Eliezer, who's a tzaddik, a side oivim, who's doyelo mashkemi tayrosin shel rabo, and he ha moshu b'chol asher lo. But he's not, he's a baal chomer and can't get out of his perception of himself. He's not shayach to real avdus of Hashem, and he's not shayach to the mid of Torah. Therefore, I'm just being masbid around. The whole Indian here is we wanted Rivka, because we want the mid of Arami. We want the ability for us to get out of ourselves. It's not like we thought that she was Mufka, the opposite. She has the mid to its fullest extent, as much as Lovin, as much as anybody else over there. However, she didn't use it to manipulate people. She used it to go into their world to understand, to do chesed properly. And Yaakov, the same thing. It's only to help people. And then, of course, he used it for learning, too. If you can't get out of yourself, you can't become a Talmud Chacham, you can't learn. We all have our narrow and limited perspective of what the Torah says, instead of hearing what the Torah is saying, what we want it to say. You know, when I want something, that's what I see. Most of us are exactly like that. Whenever I decide I want, that's what I'll read the words and I'll think it said what I said, and the words come out say Farkir. I'll leave with a story. There's a mice to show you. Many years ago, Bachar learned here in the yeshiva. There's a mice from maybe 78. And he went at night to school one night a week, and in 2 years he got an MBA degree. And I was in Toronto, the Bachar from Toronto, and his father wants to meet with me. He's that time, the boy's about 22. He sits down. I'm sitting. The table's like mom's across from you at the table, and his son's there. There's three of us sitting at a table, three seats, a corner of a table this size. And he says, Rabbi, you know, my son finished school. He has a degree. I want him to go out and make a living. There's a from Yitz, so I said, you know, from the Rambam, it's clear that the halacha, that you have to have the din, you have to, derech balei deis, that they need a parnosa before they get married. However, they don't have to make a living. When they get married, they'll start making a living. You don't have to. That's what I told him. He asked me the question. I'd like them to make a living. I said, he's not married yet. The Rambam holds, even though the Rambam sheet is the derech balei deis, to have a parnosa before you get married. But only you don't have to. You need a parnassi means you need the ability to make a living. I showed it from the Rambam. You need the ability, but to actually make a living when you have the responsibility of paying for a house. That's what I told him. He turns to his son and says, "You see, the rabbi says you should go out and work. You guys have a good Shabbos."